Even if you're broke, like a lot of people, you have friends with your money, and then when you you're broke, I don't want to talk to you. Okay? Even if you're broke, your spiritual study will sustain you. Okay? Unwaveringly. And then he gives an example. Worldly friends, when your fortunes are good, when you have a nice house and you have lots of money, tundok means they make as if they love you. Dok means as if they, you know, they give you a lot of attention and they tell you how smart you are. I had a guy, I was a buyer, right? I was a diamond buyer. I bought about 300,000 stones a day. Okay? So there's a lot of room there for bribery. People offering, they say, buy my stones and I'll. Most of the buyers that I in other companies have Swiss chalets in Switzerland and swimming pools and, you know, because you're talking $20 million, $30 million, you know, a day, you know, a lot of money passing. So if you skim a tenth of a percent, nobody would notice, right? And I think one of the reasons our company did well is all our buyers were honest. Nobody was skimming. Anyway, I remember one seller, salesman, Ajit Balka. So he comes in one day and he says, "Kurt, Michael, you look so good and that suit is so sharp on you." And I'm like, "Sit down, Ajit." And I said, "Look, answer me honestly, you know, if I got fired on Friday and you met me on Monday, would you tell me I was good looking?" And he like paused. Okay. But when you're not doing so well in your life, then they pretend they don't know you. Then they forget who you are. Tupini Dunyoki Narwaban Chiwaso Nyantabeka Fakwa Kendo Pedzashe Choyin. Spiritual learning, spiritual knowledge. It doesn't matter whether you are in some extreme situation of personal suffering, or if you get cancer, or even after you die, right? In these situations in life, extreme illness, extreme emotional suffering, or even death, okay? Spiritual learning is a friend who doesn't, what do you call it, abandon you. Even in the worst of circumstances, you carry in your own head what you need to live, okay? And you can't imagine what it feels like. Okay? Like you can break your leg, or you can be in a terrible accident, or you can have terrible things happening to you, and if you have the Dharma singing in your mind, you're fine. Okay? And no one can take it away from you. It's not like any insurance, or people ask me, "Do you have insurance?" I say, "No, I have. I don't need insurance. I have. Nothing can happen to my body that I can't handle because I have that. I understand. It's enough." Lord Sailing Yongzhen Rinpoche. This is a lama, a great lama of the past. Yongzhen means normally what someone who's tutoring the Dalai Lama, of any generation, is called Yongzhen. Rinpoche, Chadyal Kermek in Nambe. So he, once he went into the mountains and did a long retreat, right? So he left all his fancy robes back at the palace and he just put on some dirty old robes. He was coming back from retreat. Like, my dad used to take us hunting in Utah. And then we would always time the return to hit the free lunch at the Sands Hotel in Las Vegas. And we were covered with blood. And third, and we smell bad, taking a shower for weeks, and then we would walk in for the free all-you-can-eat. It was like the co-making number. So he was walking back from his retreat, and he looked like a bubble. And then Lam Shintu, and then he ran across a person, Shangbo. I believe Shangbo means a person with a limb. Songla Dua Lam Trepa, he met somebody going for, what do you call it? To sell goods in the Lhasa market. Okay? He was walking from somewhere to sell goods in the Lhasa market. He tried to strike up a conversation with the man, but the guy pretended not to know him. Or he pretended, you see, because he looked like a bum. So the guy refused to talk to him. Jesu, Gyalwa Yongzin Zenka, Zay, Kusu Gidus Kundundu Wongne, Shamu Yinke Shebare. And then later, when he was redressed in his fancy ceremonial robe, and the guy came to sell something at the palace, and then he realized that this was the tutor of the Dalai Lama, which is the highest position, ecclesiastical position in Tibet. Okay. So the guy was shocked, and then he suddenly acknowledged him. Right? Same guy, different clothes. Then he gives the example of a guy who lived in Tibet and he was poor. And then no one in his family would admit that they knew him. No one would admit they're related to this guy. But then he started to do business and he got pretty wealthy. You know what's coming, right? Okay. Gashiki, Ashan Yin Sarvaso, Neda Mandu Chuma. Then people all over Tibet started coming up to him and saying, do you realize we're related? And you are my uncle by blood, you know? He got all these people coming up to him and saying that he was their long-lost relative, right? Denam Kunzin Labu. So he prepared a major feast. He prepared a big banquet. Then Lo Nam Changor De La Chaksama Shindu. Then he invited all his recovered relatives, right, to the banquet. And then he piled some cash up on one of the tables on the altar. Okay, he piled some cash on the altar, right? And then once everybody had started to eat, he started to prostrate to the altar. Okay, you know, in Tibet they do these long prostrations, like 100 prostrations. You get your body down flat and your face flat on the floor. And then he said, "Ashan nebe ashan chum dokdok kena chatsano." I bow down to you, my little lump of metal, who made an uncle out of someone who wasn't. Like the coins, he's bowing to me. It's like a miracle. You know? So he thought he should bow down to them. So Jupiter, Jintanji Zashi, Lokin Tupatangre, you can't really trust worldly friends. Friends of this world. When you are famous, people. When I was at the Mongolian temple, right, I was just living in this room, tiny little room. I was paying $50 a month, and I was cleaning the toilets and cooking the food for like 8 years, and everyone pretty much ignored me. And then I got the job in the diamond business. Everybody said good morning to me on the street. And I thought, why are they saying good morning to me now? So anyway. Ranve Zashin Shik Tsung 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 So if you want to look for a new friend, perhaps you should seek it in the scriptures. Study them, contemplate, and meditate. That's a better friend to have than a worldly friend. Kaitan Lamrim to Charsokya Sok Sokyam. This is typical of Pavanka's demand for accuracy in the teaching. He says, you will see versions of this story which change the line to, I bow down to you, brick of tea. Bricks of tea were very expensive in Tibet. Okay? And in that version of the story, he bows down to the tea. But he says, Daki Lama Rinpoche, Kongdar Sunke Yubbe, Lame Sumla, Chunle Nepar Shubayin. But my Lama told me the story this way, and we should never corrupt the version which our Lama gave us. So I'm not going to be the one who tries to fix what my Lama said. There's a whole lesson in itself right there. He refuses to change the mind the way it was taught to him by his teacher. Learning is like medicine, which cures us from the disease of our own negative emotions. It is like, what do you call those guys who got into the place in Pakistan where they've been one with Senegal? We call us that guy, like a commando team, okay? He says learning is like a commando team, and it will destroy the army of your own bandits. Nyandaktam belta terki chokyan diyan. To be wise in spiritual things and to understand them deeply, to understand the how and why of every spiritual practice will bring you some kind of, what do you call it? You'll become famous. You will become well known. Okay, why? Because you can really help people. Okay? Like you can go to a country like where Bulgaria, we were in Bulgaria recently. You go to Sofia, we don't know anybody here. We know one person. And you know, you get up and there's a couple hundred people, Bulgarian people. I don't know them, I don't know anything about Bulgaria. We just landed there in Aslan. You know, it was all strange and I didn't know anybody. But you get up in front of a crowd of a couple hundred people in Bulgaria where you don't know anybody. And by Sunday, they are all crying. You arrive on Friday, and by Sunday, they're all crying at the dinner table. Okay? People are weeping at the dinner table. People you never met before. It's so beautiful. It's so, true. And people sense it in every country of the world. It doesn't matter where you are. And people sense it, and they just get really happy. And so you will become well known because you have something to offer people. You have something valuable to offer people. And naturally people will tell other people. Tell and tell. It's like when Jesus said something about you should be, don't hide a candle under a basket. Like you take the basket off. He was telling his disciples, don't hide what you know. Like give it to the world. And then you will give it to the world and you will be like a light for the world. You will be like a light for the world. Terki Chokdiyu. Dhamma namke tundu leketam. Tsokin namdu keva gorgebi chokyan diyen. I was really impressed today. If you missed the minister's talk, the minister of energy's talk, you really missed something today. You know? So we're like pressing him. Like, how can we help you? Can we send money somewhere? Or can we send volunteers somewhere? And he's like, he thinks very carefully and he says, you know what would be best? And he named like three or four things. You know, one was, maybe you Americans could use a little less energy and leave a little bit for the rest of us. You know? Like, you don't have to come to Mexico necessarily. Could you turn off your lights when you leave the house? Then there'd be a little more oil for the rest of the people. You know, we use 80% of the world's oil. Okay? Something like that. Then he was like, and come to Mexico and appreciate that Mexico is something more than drug lords and murderers and, you know, tequila. He said that. And he really, he didn't want money. He wanted us to love his people and his country. And I was so impressed by him. You see, so he gave us a gift, right? He didn't give us money. He didn't want money. And he didn't want a car or something like that. He just said something beautiful and wise. And among special people, a few words of true wisdom is the best gift you can give them. So if he had brought some barrels for everybody, no, I mean, maybe some people would like that. In certain audiences, they would like that. But to hear him say those words, you know, and that's all he wanted out of us. We tried to give him $1,000. We said, take $1,000, give it to somebody in the university who's studying solar. He said, you come, and you give the money. You know? And then just to hear somebody so say beautiful, wise things is the best gift that someone could give you. So if you learn these things, you can give those kinds of gifts to other people, wisdom. And it's more precious than some barrels. And when you get together among sensitive people and spiritual people, if you have been trained in these things, you have something to contribute. You have something to share with other people. You have something valuable to share with spiritually minded people around the world. And it's a pleasure. It's a real pleasure. You can go anywhere. We were in Tokyo in the Irish ambassador's presence, you know, giving a talk. And it was so beautiful. And we had something to share with everyone. And they were so happy. So like that, okay? You have something valuable to give people. Something meaningful. Alright. But you have to learn it, okay? You have to train yourself in it. Don't like be lousy at it. Somebody comes to teach yoga if they have not. John was great because you can see he's doing his, I mean, the bottom line, you can see he's doing his yoga every day. He's, because he's into it, right? And then somebody comes to teach yoga and you can tell they're not doing their yoga very often. And you feel almost embarrassed for them. You see what I mean? And then you gotta know the stuff. You gotta learn it. You gotta sit through the 10 years of classes. And you owe it to people to do that. You owe it to people to try. It's rare to get the chance. It's rare to get the opportunity, right? There's not like a Bhagavad Gurbhaji class, 10-year classes going on everywhere. Okay? Okay. Shen Yang Kerabe. Hangshik tebe yini tekyun ne lepa gala temani du gyur shirke shu dinu meba gyur rangke shek kyan teni nyome rik shay sumata teta wa tebe kashik tebe yini tekyun ne lepa gala temani du gyur. If you are trained formally in a spiritual path, yini dekyone, at first your mind will be, you will feel faith for that teaching. Lepa gala, and you will feel later some kind of deep joy. Like when I get to go to a teaching, or even if it's just a yoga class, I feel so happy to be with a teacher. It doesn't matter. I didn't meet John before. Personally, and he gave a nice class, but I just enjoyed being in the presence of any teacher. Okay? you feel some enjoyment, right? And then you make and then your happiness will become unshakable. You will become unshakable. Wisdom will come in your heart, and you will, your ignorance will go away. This is very important, okay? Remember this line, it comes later. It would be worth it if you could get a Dharma teaching, a good teaching from somebody. It would be worth it to cut off your fingers as payment. It would be worth it. If you didn't have a chance to have a teaching, and someone said, you can have a teaching, but you have to cut off your fingers. I need your fingers to have a teaching. It would be worth it. Okay? That's what Buddha said. It would be worth it to cut off your own flesh and offer it. Okay? That comes later. Then later he's going to say, by the way, just so you don't cut your fingers off, later he says, we're lucky that we, you know, nobody here is being asked to cut their fingers off. This is free, the teaching is free. We have a gold club, we have a group of sponsors who put up the money for these events every time. They pay for the church, they pay for the rental, and they pay for the meat, they pay for everything, all the expenses, and then you just come for free. So later he's going to point out that you didn't have to cut your fingers off. Okay, so I'm not asking you for your fingers because the gold club already paid for you. All right. If you learn well, like the scriptures, okay? They're trying to save 200,000 or 300,000 scriptures. Okay? And there's not even a lot of Tibetans who care. There's very few Tibetans who care. You know, they don't really grasp what it is. Okay? There's not a lot of Tibetans who help us. Okay? So what he's saying is that if you understood the value of these things, then you would quit your job and help them. You know, like you would do anything to keep those in the world, because there's nothing else like them in the world. The world is a small place. You think somewhere there's people wiser than you. We go everywhere. They're all watching TV. Okay? They're all watching video. The whole world. There aren't pockets of enlightened people here and there, you know, mostly. Most of the world is working during the day, and coming home and eating, and watching television and going to bed. And they do that till they die, okay? And there's no other option for them. They haven't got any other resources to tell them there's anything else to do. These are rare in the world. A complete spiritual path, which is something you can try and help you go to deep places. They don't exist. They aren't around. Okay? There may have been here and there in history, but they're dead. They're extinct. Okay? There's very few living traditions left. And so we have to protect it. Right? So Yite, you will come to believe in it. Then you will naturally honor the sources of this teaching. Once you understand where things are coming from, you don't feel put out to practice. You enjoy practicing. Somebody says to you, you have a chance to help supply solar panels to poor people in Mahigali, you know, across the border. Somebody says that to you, you feel turned on. You're like, dang, that's so cool. I'm so lucky. Someone's going to give me a chance to help someone. Okay? If you understand, if you have training, and somebody says, hey, you want to help with this project? If you hear Mr. his last name, Andrade, David Munoz Andrade, if you hear Mr. Andrade talk, right, then you just get totally turned on and excited. If you're trained and you hear someone who's helping 35,000 families get free energy from the wind, then you just you feel turned on. Okay. So that's it. Deshi Kenyu Rigne, Lun Du Dubala Temba Kyoba, So Kenyu Tayebe. Once you understand the four truths, right? Once you understand about the pen thing and going to Starbucks, right? What do I mean when I say going to Starbucks? Taking someone to Starbucks who has the same problem that you have in order to overcome those seeds within your own mind, which is the only way to overcome your problems. You must help someone else overcome their problems. That's the only way. Okay. So, study the fortress, study the pen, study where reality is really coming from, and devote yourself to helping someone else. Okay? You can only do that if you've studied formally, because it's not the way you were taught to live. Someone has to carefully and over a long period of time train you in the opposite behavior to what you grew up with. Okay? You grew up believing that if you wanted something, you would have to compete with others to get it. That's capitalism. That's what we were brought up. Even the ads on TV are Coke is better than Pepsi. You grew up with that. It's in your mind. It's in your soul. You live by that. You believe that to succeed, you must compete with other people. Then it's only with much training that your mind can be reversed, can be, what do you call it, repaired. Okay? To believe that the only way to get something is to provide it to someone else first. Okay? Which is the opposite. The only way to get a promotion at work is to help another person at work get a promotion. And who would ever guess, you know, we are trained in a corporate world to compete with the other managers and try to look better than them. And that's the only way to get to be a vice president, right? We're trained in that since we were children. And then it takes a lot of counter-training to fix that viewpoint because it gets stuck in deep inside your soul. Okay? You believe, even with boyfriends and girls, I gotta compete with this guy to get this girl. Like, you were brought up on that. All the movies told you that. The ultimate source of knowledge in America. I'm not kidding. Okay? That's where people derive their values from now, right? The movies. So, to untrain somebody from that way of thinking is a difficult process, and it takes time, and it takes patience, and you have to work hard. For it to become automatic that you would seek to help somebody else if you wanted something for yourself, it takes extensive training. You have to be trained in it. Tepa Dini Randi Shane Chede Nyoguna Nyoma Ripso. Then he repeats, if the only way you could get a teaching was to cut off some of your flesh to pay for the teaching, it would be worth it. She Suna, Shane, Chaimi Gupa, but you know, none of us here was asked to pay for the teaching with flesh. Migupa, Shudder Tapache Chopeka. We're just all sitting here relaxing and having a nice little talk. Nobody was asked to cut their fingers off at the door. HR pick up there. Her thought triggered. So now that someone has, you know, dropped it in your lap, then it's your responsibility to work harder. You need to work harder. Sikche dini kyaase tawe sikang rela sarsam toda rethu ne shutub dere. This particular verse, okay, you gotta remember the page number for me because we're gonna go back, okay? Page 53, front folio, last line. Okay? This particular verse about having to cut your fingers off, right? This was spoken by a bodhisattva whose name was Chandra. Okay? There's a famous bodhisattva named Chandra. Gyase Chandra means the bodhisattva named Chandra. Okay? And he spoke this. This verse was a verse that he paid for. He was taught this verse by someone else. He paid. A verse in Tibetan has four lines. Okay? What we call a shloka has four lines. Right? He paid 1,000 gold coins for each line of that verse. He paid 1,000 gold coins for each line of that verse. And what did the guy tell him? Even if you had to cut your fingers off, it'd be worth it, man. He's like, you're lucky. I just took your gold. Alright, okay, got it? That's going to come back to us later. Right? It's important. It's something deeper than it sounds. We'll go another few minutes and then we'll take a break, okay? Deyan tepa kangya chewa tsangi sampa nandan mang sampe nandan jita mang wa tsangi gobe nyangyong ke nyurwe shirap chewa. Deyan tepa kangya chewa tsangi sampe nandan mang. The more teachings you go to, the more things you have in your mind that you can reflect upon, that you can contemplate upon when you are by yourself. The more teachings you've been to, the more material you have to do your contemplations. Sampe nandan jita mangwa tsangke gobe nyangyong ke nyurwa. And the more topics you have to contemplate upon, then the faster will be your spiritual realizations and the more you'll have to meditate on. You have more subjects to meditate upon. Ke nyurwa, and it's faster. Shirab chewa, you will become wiser. Lo na shubha daki trasa chewa shumne shum bodhi nala lobnya chega. Those of you who are still young, he's saying, okay, who's his audience? Mostly monks in Tibet, okay? Those of you who are young, I encourage you to enter one of the great monasteries, okay? Meaning mainly Saraganden or Dim, okay, the three. They call it the big three. I encourage you to enter one of those major monasteries, and I encourage you to undertake the study of the five great classics. If you are young enough, I encourage you to undertake the study of the five great classics of all of Buddhism. Okay? That's called the Geshe course. Okay? That's a course of a Geshe. That's what a Geshe goes through. 12 years of Prajnaparamita, 4 years of Madhyamika, 2 years of Abhidharma, 2 years of Vinaya, and 3 months of Pramanavartika every year. Okay? Those are the five classics. And he's saying, I encourage you to undertake that study if you're young enough to do it. That whole study is pretty complete in the 18 ACI courses. Okay? The entire study of the five great books is fairly complete in the 18 courses of ACI. He's saying you should go through the 18 courses of ACI. So, you know, I wrote those courses, I taught them, I translated them. It's 20,000 pages of courses of translation. Okay? And you know, since that time, I've been observing people. The people who finished the courses formally and did their homeworks and handed in their homeworks and did the quizzes and did all the meditations, right? And whose names are Inshave Sachanandis, Sachanandis. The registrar is booked. Okay. Those people's practice is measurably better than other people. Okay? Their practice is obviously better than other people's practice. They are getting further, they understand things more, they are better teachers. Okay? So people are always asking me, can I go on a DCI tour? You know, can I go on one of these tours to Tokyo or Paris or Sofia or Kiev or, okay? And I'm pretty much tending towards taking the people who have finished their ACI courses. I'm letting Sharmay tell me who's got the courses under their belt, right? Because they obviously perform better. They obviously do much better. Okay? So finish your courses, okay? If you haven't finished your courses, don't stall and don't think you know enough already. Or don't think I go to Geshe Michael's teachings all the time. I don't need to finish those courses. I travel with him constantly. Why should I finish the quizzes? That's a wrong thing. Okay? That's ignorant thinking. Okay? Finish them formally. Finish all of them. Okay, you turned in your papers and the teacher never gave the grade to Sharay. Oh, I'm sorry. You'll have to suffer and do it again. I mean, it's an honor to do it again. Come on. If we had a rule that you had to do that three times, it'd be good news for you. It'd be lucky. Okay? I think she should lose every third grade or something. And it would be a kindness to all of you. Okay? So don't stall, okay? Don't say, I went to the Diamond Mountain Tantra courses. I finished 7 years of Chakrasambhava and Vajrayogini. Who needs logic? That's a very stupid thing to say. Okay? You should finish the courses. They're not difficult. Mama Christie and me, 3-year retreat, we got bored at some point and we said, why don't we listen to all the ACI courses? So every Sunday we would have a party, you know, we would make popcorn and we would sit down and turn on Geshe Michael. I had never heard a tape. I had never heard one of those tapes. And they're good. And they're fun. No, they're fun and they're good. And you just sit there. And we didn't tell Geshe Michael, but sometimes we were laying on the ground and eating popcorn and listening to the tape. It's not like being in a class where you have to sit up and pretend you're paying attention. You can like just lay on your back and listen to the tape, and it's not difficult, and it makes you so much more qualified as a teacher. You are obviously a better teacher. Okay? So if you want me to take you on a tour, I really encourage you to finish your courses. It's embarrassing for me when I take somebody on a tour and they ask me a question and I say, just tell them what course 6 says, and they're like, what's course 6? You know, so learn your courses. Then you can really help people. They're easy, they're free. Take them from a human being if you can. Okay? It's much more powerful. Work through the courses, okay? It will change you. You will be a better person. As far as the secret teachings, right? As far as Tantra, which is supposed to be a shortcut to enlightenment, right? It's supposed to get you enlightened in one lifetime. I've really watched carefully the students who were allowed to take empowerment without finishing the 18 courses, and they fail much more frequently. Okay? They fail at a rate which is like 300% more than someone who's gone through the 18 courses. Please don't give empowerments unless people have shown that they are serious enough to get through the 18 courses, okay? And help them get through the courses. You're not helping anyone by saying, I like you, you don't have to finish the last 6 courses. You know, you're not helping them. You're hurting them. Okay? So have people go through the courses, make sure they're qualified, and then let them into the secret teachings, okay? So that's what he's saying here. Lognya Chekha, you must do it, he says. You must do it. You must finish the study of the 5 great classes, which is the 18 ACI courses. Lognya Chekha, Dharma Chekha, Ni, Kwanjo Sum. I'm going to stop there because it's a beautiful subject. I'll stop there and we'll take a break. Thanks. Have a nice break. I'll be here to talk a little bit if you need to talk. And see you in about, we'll start again at 9. We'll go for a while and then we'll do some questions and answers. So try to think of some kind of hard question. Okay. All right. Have a nice break. Maybe I'm going to not take questions. What do you want? How many people want for questions? How many people want for scripture? Okay, this is a nice section, okay? There's a thing, and then we'll stop, okay? We got like 22 minutes. There's a thing in Buddhism called the three jewels, right? Kwanjosum. And it's important. We named our community centers the three jewels. There's one in Tucson, there's one in Vancouver, there's one in New York. So three jewels means, you know, when they say, is Buddhism a religion? Then you say, well, sort of. And they say, well, do you worship anything? And in a way, we worship the three jewels, okay? So the three jewels are the object of worship. What does worship mean in Buddhism? I mean, when I grew up in a good church, and I had good Christian training, and worship to me as a child meant there were people on the altar, or there were things on the altar, and then you kind of bowed to them, and you made prayers to them, and you respected them, and that was what worship was to me. My church had an awesome altar. It's like 80 feet high or something. And it was a very emotional thing. You know? Worship to me, I did worship, and I like it. I enjoy it. I still worship. The closest thing in Buddhism is going for refuge. They say going for refuge or going for shelter. Okay. Seeking protection from certain entities is the closest thing that you have to worship, I guess. Well, it's the main thing. Supposedly, if you take refuge properly, it makes you a Buddhist. So in the Christian church we have, we call it confirmation or baptism. Baptism, you know, if you got baptized and then you got confirmed, you were a member of the church, right? In Buddhism, if you take refuge, you are a Buddhist. And if you don't, you're not. Okay. So then, refuge means when you have a problem, you seek help or refuge in these three things. Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Okay? Buddha, the enlightened founder of Buddhism. Dharma, the teachings. And Sangha, the community of monks and nuns. Okay? These are the standard three jewels. Okay? They're called three jewels. Then, you know, I understood that, I got that teaching, I understood, I heard all that. I knew that to take refuge was what it was to be a Buddhist. So coming from my Christian background, I thought if I went into the temple and bowed to the photograph and the statue of Buddha, you know, and I respected the books there in the temple, every temple has books in it, and, you know, if I got along with all the monks and nuns and lamas, then that would probably be taking refuge, right? Then I went to live with Khenpo Rinpoche, and he started to teach us the Perfection of Wisdom Scriptures, okay? Which is a 12-year course in the monastery. And he took us through the scriptures on the Perfection of Wisdom. And then, I don't know, at some point in those scriptures, there's a discussion of what it is to take refuge. And that gets into the three jewels. Who are the three jewels, right? Then what I learned in that course was that there are the apparent three jewels, and then there are the real three jewels, okay? So there are, the word they use for apparent is deceptive in Tibet. There's one version of the three jewels which everybody thinks is what the three jewels are, and that's not right. And then there's the real three jewels, okay? And then to take refuge in the apparent ones doesn't have a great effect. And to take refuge in the real ones has a great effect. So let's take Tibet, 6 billion people, Buddhism rate 99.99999999%, okay? There are some Muslim butchers in Lhasa, okay? That's about it. In the old days. So, among those 6 million people in Tibet, traditional Tibet, old Tibet, right? Probably 5.9 million were taking the apparent refuge. Okay? They considered themselves Buddhists. They went to the temples, they bowed to the statues, they respected the physical books, and they respected the monks and nuns. And then they considered themselves Buddhists. What Khyen Rinpoche taught us from the Perfection of Wisdom scriptures is that they weren't taking refuge. And they weren't Buddhist, technically, okay? Because they didn't know what refuge really was. And they didn't know who the three jewels were, okay? There's an apparent Buddha, and there's the real Buddha. There's the apparent Dharma, and there's the real Dharma. And then there's the apparent Sangha, or community, and then there's the real community. So then, you know, naturally we were all confused and concerned, and we're like, Rinpoche, it's a pretty big thing to say that none of the people in Tibet are Buddhist. You know, like, can you explain? And he said, well, technically, the Buddha and the Buddha jewel is a different thing, and the Dharma jewel is a different thing, and the Sangha jewel is a different thing. The things you take refuge in are different from the standard things you think about when you say Buddha. For example, okay, I'm going to start with Dharma. Okay, the teachings, right? The jewel of the teachings is the direct perception of emptiness within a person's mind. And that's all. It's not these books. This is not the Dharma. This is not the Dharma that will protect you. And this is not the Dharma that you go to refuge for. To be a Buddhist, okay, you must take refuge for in the knowledge that your husband is coming from you. And it makes a heck of a lot more sense, right? Because it would protect you. It would shelter you. It would give you refuge. If you understood that the boss at work who is criticizing you is coming from you. If you understood the emptiness of that boss, which means to understand he's coming from you, and he is empty of coming from his own side, right? If you understand the way that people treat you is only coming from how you treat other people, right? Then obviously that would be a kind of protection. Why? You won't yell back at your husband. Or you won't try to kill your boss. Okay, like you protect yourself if you understand that things are coming from you. And wouldn't that make more sense? Someone who's about to get in an argument with another person and who refrains from arguing because they grasp that this person is coming from them and from how they've treated people in the past. That person is a Buddhist. It's very interesting because they have sought to protect themselves through the understanding of emptiness. And they have protected themselves. If they fight back with the person who attacks them, they are creating another person to attack them. So to cease and desist because you understand that the person is coming from you is a refuge. And that makes you a Buddhist. Now, however, interesting thing for you, okay? I'll throw this out to you. I got a complaint from one of our city directors in a foreign country. They said, Geshe-la, I don't want you teaching business. I want you teaching Buddhism. You know, could you come and teach Buddhism, you know, in our country? I like it. The DC, I think I respect it, but I would rather have you give a Buddhist teaching. Okay, now consider now that you know what refuge is, if I give a business talk, right, and 1,400 architects come in Orlando, Florida, and by the end of the talk, they all believe that their wife is coming from them. And the next time they're in a position to have an argument with their wife, they desist and they protect themselves. Then technically, they have become Buddhists. And I have just given a Buddhist talk. But nobody knows. Okay? I would much rather do that. Okay? I'm not selling pictures. It really upsets me. I don't give a damn what picture you have hanging up in your house. Buddha, Muhammad, you know, Zoroastrian, Mr. Zoroastrian, I don't care. It really doesn't matter to me. I don't keep pictures in my house. You know, if you have a lama, go live near them. You, if you want to look at them, you walk outside and look at them. You know, I don't need pictures in my house. I don't have. Someone gave me a very beautiful Tsongkhapa statue. It means a lot to me. I keep that. I have the Tara statue that Rinpoche gave me with my diamonds in it. Because I like the idea that he gave to me. But I don't have any other pictures in my house. It doesn't matter to me. That's not Buddhism. Okay? It's not at all. So that's refuge, okay? That's real Dharma. It's what I taught to the 1,400 architects in Orlando. And they were weird. That was a difficult talk, I'll tell you that. And I don't care if they call, I'm not trying to say I tricked them into being a Buddhist, I'm not saying that. I don't care if they ever think they're a Buddhist, it doesn't matter to me. I think it's irrelevant. If they're happy and successful, and if their soul is made pure and clean and happy, I don't care what you call the practice, I don't care what you call the practice, it doesn't matter to me. You know, just really doesn't matter to me at all. I just want them to be happy and successful and to be kind to all the people in the world and make the world a good place. That's all. So anyway, now you understand the idea of refuge, okay? The next point that he makes in the scripture, Lognir Chepa Dhamma Chepa Ni Kojo Sumo Moshe Luk Tsumlayan Kepa Shintuche. You can tell the difference between a person who has gone through formal spiritual instruction and those who have not, even in how they understand the three jewels. Just in that one subject, okay, the 6 million people in Tibet, over 5 million didn't know what the three jewels were. How did they take refuge? You see what I mean? So the ones who did some formal study, and someone explained to them about the criticizing wife thing or husband thing, and those who understood it, then they are worse, and they have taken refuge. Even in the most tiny, basic, beginning idea of Buddhism, do you take refuge? Those who study do, and those who don't study do not, and they are not Buddhist. They are not Buddhist. So even in just the very dumbest thing of Buddhism, whether you study or not changes the whole thing, right? It changes the whole thing. Are you bowing down to some photograph or some painting? Or are you refraining from criticizing your husband when he attacks you? Which one makes you a Buddhist? Okay. And you need training to understand that. So is it wrong to tell people, you know, keep an altar and have pictures on it and bow down to them? If they are not in a position to study or to learn, then I don't know, lamas must have given them that to practice. Maybe it will plant a seed later, right? It's not a bad thing. But technically they're not Buddhists, okay? So study is important from the very beginning, okay? Okay. Samar Chintuche wa yu. Gegen Pecha Mitake Shin Yin Kyung Gate Ranga Chajit Mikopa Lognir Che Chuk. In the monastery there's a whole class of older monks who have decided to become Gergen. Gergen, in one sense, means house teacher. House teacher means you're pretty much a babysitter. Okay? Geshe Parker, when I met him, he had 30 kids sleeping in a small room, in a row. Refugee kids with fleas and huge open sores on their heads, like their skull showing through from malnutrition. And so we took in 30 kids like that, orphans. And you know, you put them in the, you put them, you train them to do their basic prayers and, you know, like that. Basically, you're responsible for their feeding them, clothing them, making sure they do their basic prayers, disciplining them, you know, making sure they have a conduct, that they understand a monk's conduct. So there are people who just do that in the monastery. They are not geshes normally. They are sort of like super babysitters. Okay? They're house mothers for the first 15 years of a monk's life. So that's called Gergen, in one sense of the word. So he said, some of you may be Gergens, some of you may be house mothers, and then you're not engaged in the study of the classics. You're not in the Geshe course. You have other responsibilities. There are also cooking class of monks. There was a police class of monks called Dopos. In Tibet, they had, you know those things that football players wear? They wore things under their robes to make them look bigger. And then they had staffs. And they were the security, you know, they were the police department for the monastery. So anyway, there were different classes of monks. Those of you who are house mothers, he says, even though you have decided not to undertake a study of the great scriptures, don't shortchange your students. Okay? Then send your student to another teacher during the day. That's a monastic thing. So a Gergen will choose bright students and say, you go to so-and-so during the day to be trained, because I don't have the skills to train you. So he said, don't be possessive of those young monks. You send them to someone who can train them properly. I used to sleep in that room, because there wasn't any other rooms. And every monk got one bobale. Bobale means it's a piece of bread that's the size of a frisbee. It looks just like a frisbee. It's called a bowl. Bowl means a pound. A pound of flour. So you got rationed 1 pound of flour and the amount of bread. That was your food for the day in the refugee camp. You got it. Because they're easy to hand down. You actually throw them at monks. Because they fly like frisbees, you know. And everybody got a bowl pali. And that's all you got to eat in the early days. You got a bowl pali in the morning and that was it. And then the Geshe Tarnak would take away their bowl pali. And he would split it up and give them some in the morning, right? Enough to eat in the morning. And then he would take all the other bowl palis and he would put them in the rafters of the house where the kids couldn't reach them. So, you know what I mean? There'd be all these bowl palis in the room. You could see them, but you couldn't reach them. And then we'd go to bed and then all these kids would come out with sticks. And they'd be trying to knock down the bowl pali. And they would land on the older monks, and it was a long story. And it was really hard. You didn't get any sleep at all. It was like rats, which also run all over you. Anyway, it's better now. Okay, things are better now, thanks to Ken Rinpoche. Right? They all have food. Everybody has food because of Ken Rinpoche. All right. So he's saying to the older monks, don't shortchange the other monks. What it means as a teacher for us, let's say you're more attracted to yoga, you're not so attracted to the ACI courses, you kind of like Tantra, you think it's more interesting, the ACI courses don't interest you so much. If you have given up on the ACI courses for yourself, don't cheat the people who are looking to you as a teacher. You see what I mean? Even if you've decided you're never going to finish them, encourage your students to finish them. That's what he's saying. Okay? Don't cheat them out of the opportunity. Train them in how important it is to finish the courses and help them to finish them. It's like a six times book. If you've decided you're too advanced to keep your vow six times a day, it doesn't mean you can stop teaching it to your students, right? Give them a chance to keep their vows, even if you've decided not to. Train them in the proper practices, even if you can't do it yourself. Okay? Of course, that's pretty weird. You should finish the courses and you should keep yourself. Okay? Alright. He says a funny thing. He says, if you send your students to another teacher who can train them properly, then maybe in your next life you'll have the wisdom to study properly. You'll create that karma that you'll study in your next life. Yang lo gyanpa dam wangbo tuko soki shum chamo lobnyo cha go che gyan dondo chepe nonne chibo la tupe dende reki taba gyanpa dharava nuna yang cha jo la nirema dharu la tusam chene. So he says there are those of you among, there are monks in the audience who are too old to start the Geshe course. Okay, you don't have 25 years left and everybody knows it. So there are those of you in the audience that you're just too old to start the Geshe course. Okay? And also, wangbo tunpo means you just don't have the intellectual capacity to study the ACI courses. That doesn't apply to anyone here. Okay? You can finish the courses. I don't see anybody who's too old here to finish the ACI courses. But he's just saying in the monastery, there are cases where people don't have 25 years left and everybody knows it, okay? Or they just can't get it, okay? They're just too... A lot of times the monastery attracts people who can't cope on the outside. You know, they can't get a job, they can't feed themselves, they have a handicap, and they might be physically handicapped. And the monastery takes everybody, and they take care of them. And many of them become great lamas. Okay? But then there are some who are just, like they're, what do you call it? Not quite retarded, but they're like that. They'll never be able to read. Or, and we take people in and we give them jobs. They become cooks or like that. So anyway, those of you like that, I admit that you couldn't, that you wouldn't be able to finish the Geshe course. But it could happen that without being able to make a great examination of the great scriptures, you die. Okay? You will die. Death will come, right? Dende reki tapa gyachara manunayam. So people like that, okay, I admit, says Papa Guruji, there are people in the audience who will never be able to go through the five great books, the 18 courses. There's nobody in the room like that, okay? I'm just reading the scripture. Chanjib langi remutabula tursam chene, but at least you should study the Lamrim, okay? He's saying, if you can't do the ACI courses, at least study the Lamrim. Tabula tursam chene. Then you will get a general picture of the whole spiritual path. Then His Holiness the First Panchen Lama, right, who wrote Denang, which you all studied, many of you, he had a dream one night of judge on karma. Okay. By the way, if you're trying to read the scripture, there's a difficult carving here. There's a carving challenge here. Okay. It says, are we at Panchen? Can you see Panchen? Panchen means the Panchen Lama, right? Chögyen means, Chögyen is an abbreviation for Lobsang, Chögyi, Gyeongsang. Okay? Chögyen is an abbreviation for Lobsang, Chögyi, Gyeongsang, which is Lun. If your Tibetan is not very good and you see Chögyen, you will spend 2 hours in the dictionary and you'll come up with Dharma Jewel, which is not at all his name. Okay? They shortened his name. It's like George Washington got shortened to Gioma. Okay? Now, and you have to know. You just know. Okay? Then he's got the word Sen hanging there after it. Okay? Gyengit Sen. He has already wiped out the word Sen in the name Chögyi Gyeongsang. That Sen has nothing to do with his name. That Sen is not the word Gyeongsang, which means victory banner, right? That Sen means night time. Okay? It's a totally different word. And Lam means path. Nighttime path is the honorific for a dream. Okay. Milam, Mongsham. And you, if you're studying Tibetan, this line will drive you crazy. So I'm just trying to help you. Okay. When you meet the Dalai Lama, you don't say, did you have a nice dream last night? Sueñes con los angelitos. You don't say that. You say, did your honorable nighttime pass sweetly? Okay? And you have to know, they have honorific language. There's a different language for talking to high mountains. So he changes the word for dream. It's the honorable, perfect sage's dream. It's a different word. And you have to know that language, and that's another challenge. Okay? There's like 3 or 4 languages inside of Tibet. Anyway, Sen Landu, Jetsu Kampe. So Jetsu Kampe said to him during his dream, Rangdan Shenna Pimbechen, if you want to help yourself and you want to be in a position to help others, Tibet Lomba Michate, never be satisfied with your study. Spiritual study. Keep pushing hard. Okay? Keep pushing hard. Right? And don't stop. Don't let up. Okay? Get in the car to go to Christine Walsh's house and pull out the laptop and study a half a page because you've got 16 minutes. And do it. I used to drive Lama Christy crazy. That may be what happened. But anyway, I'd say, you've got 5 minutes now. Open a book. It's, you know, learn, memorize something. You've got 5 minutes. You know, don't waste 5 minutes. You've got 5 minutes of human life. This is extraordinarily precious. Don't waste 5 minutes. You know, just use it. Okay? So Tsongkhapa is saying, be insatiable in your search for spiritual realizations. Don't waste 5 minutes. Don't let up for 5 minutes. And it's hard. It's hard on your mind and your health. Okay, you drive. Keep driving. Okay? You have to. Don't let up ever. Okay? Whatever age you are, whatever you're in an airplane, you're in an airport. We always do our yoga in the gate at the gate. They board. We're always the last ones out. And Nico always leaves his camera, and Mercedes always leaves her iPhone. But we do our yoga at the gate. We do a whole session at the gate. And you gotta push. You gotta keep pushing. Because people are waiting. People need you. You can't let them. Sarsum, Yenge Sembayang, even those bodhisattvas who have reached the high levels, okay? High levels, they also never let up. They don't stop. Okay? They don't say, now I'm good enough in meditation. Or now I know enough scripture. If you learn it in Tibetan, you learn it in Chinese. Or in the Sanskrit. Okay? And keep going. Don't stop. Don't let up. Keep driving. Okay? Because we have the example of bodhisattvas, high bodhisattvas, they don't stop, they don't let up. The Heart Sutra was spoken by two high bodhisattvas, right? They were, if they had let up, then we wouldn't have the Heart Sutra. If they had sat at Paradise Cafe and talked about politics that day, like we do, we wouldn't have the Heart Sutra. Okay? So the Bishop is just going to be. Shesamatar, Jarko Pagin. Oh, sharks. I'm going to just go a little bit further, okay? Lo jita men kyang, la min ma jita bula tuba, che mi shia bata. It doesn't matter how small your mental capacity is or your spiritual capacity, you could take one of those small mantras, right? There's nobody who couldn't memorize that or learn it, okay? You can do it. Anybody could. You then Shigurma, right? The source of all my good. I mean, anybody can memorize that, all right? You don't have to be Jetson Kotman to memorize that. He says, no matter how small your capacity is, you can memorize a small mantra, okay? Or, Chelo Mepa Kala Yoga. You can't say you don't have time to practice 14 verses of the three principal paths. No, nobody's that bad off. So nobody is so dumb they can't study the long run. And nobody is so busy that they can't read the long run. Okay? Everybody can. Nianso Fecha Wa Min She Chuki Kawa Chini De Kala Ge. Those of you who say I will never be a great scholar or a great sage, I will never learn all the practices of Buddhism. I'm not capable. He says you're just selling yourself short. Anybody can. At any age, you can start. Okay? Pick up the Heart Sutra and memorize it. We did that in three retreats. We picked up the Yoga, we memorized the Yoga Sutra. We started on the Hatha Yoga Nidhika. We finished most of it. Like, use your time. And it will come in handy later. Right? Then we gave what? We did 12 courses in New York, right? Hundreds of people. If you add up all the people, it was thousands of people. And that was because we took the time during three retreat to memorize a small book. So you can do it. Just try. Okay? Anybody can do it. Try. You have to be relentless. You can't stop. You can't say, I know enough. Okay? You have to keep going. So he says you are just cheating yourself if you say you're not capable, because you're all capable. Dalang, look so yubatar. All the horses in Tibet, and all the oxen in Tibet, and all the sheep in the Tibet, they each have been trained to carry the load that they can carry. Okay? Horses carry a horse's load. Oxen carry an oxen load. And even sheep in Tibet have to carry the whole thing for them. Okay? We're just like that. You should be working every day with new spiritual study according to your capacity. If you're a sheep, or an ox, or a horse. Okay? Okay, and that's a good place to stop. So what he's saying is, what I'm trying to get you to feel is that it's spiritual learning is not like high school or college. It's not like you reach 12th grade, you take a final exam, and they give you a diploma, and you're finished. It's not like that. Okay? It's a continual process. It's an ongoing process, no matter how old you are. His Holiness the Dalai Lama gets up at 4 o'clock every morning and memorizes something new. Okay? At the age of 75, he still gets up every morning admires something new. And he invites lamas to come to his house and teach him all the time. He's extraordinary. Okay? He's the Dalai Lama. And he finds like 50, 60-year-old lamas who know something he hasn't learned yet. And they come to his house every day. And he learns something new from them. Okay? And that's why he's so great. Okay? So the process is ongoing. Okay? You keep learning, because then you will have more things to share with other people. And you might learn this week something which saves someone's life next week, which you didn't know last week. Okay? So don't stop, and don't think you know enough. It never ends, okay? You have to keep going, keep learning, okay? Why? It's not for you. It's so that you will have something to share with others who need it, right? There are thousands of different personality types, you know? You can't teach this to a yoga class. They need Yoga Sutra, okay? And you need different skills, and you need different trainings to be able to help a wide variety of people. You know, you can't be like a, I don't know, psoriasis specialist. You gotta be a family, what do they call that, the old doctor?
General practitioner.
You gotta be a family practitioner. You gotta know everything. Because somebody younger than you will show up in your life and they'll have a problem, which is serious to them, which you didn't have in your spiritual journey, okay? And you gotta have the antidote for them. It's even up to like suicide. When people come to me and they say, I'm killing myself next week, you know, and I'm like, why? And they say, I'm depressed. And I'm like, damn, I've never been depressed. I don't know what to do. Then you should have studied it. You see, you should have learned the meditations that are used for people with depression, even though you never had that problem. You see what I mean? So you have to keep learning more things. It's not just for you, it's your responsibility. Right? There are other people who have extraordinary needs, life-threatening needs, and you can help them, but you need the tools. You need to learn them all. Okay? So don't stop. And some people say it's like daunting, you know, like Geshe-la is like thousands of pages, you know, like, you know, it's overwhelming, you know, 18 ACI courses, 18 tantra courses, you know, thousands of, 20,000 pages, it's too much, it's like it's overwhelming, I don't want to start, because I can't do it, it's too much, you know? Just start with something. That's the trick. Start with one small thing. Okay? Say, I'm going to learn the 14 verses of the principal teachings of Buddhism, right? The three principal paths. I'm just going to learn the 14 verses. I'm going to ignore the other 200,000 scriptures. And I'm going to concentrate on this one page. And that's the way to do it, okay? Start with something small. Start with something small. And before you know it, you've finished the conjure or something. Right? But don't think you're going to start with the conjure. Don't do that. Start with one small thing that you would... I'm trying to learn Chinese. My mind is too old, okay? I've been struggling for a year. So I learned the Heart Sutra, okay? And that's all I know in Chinese. Then I go to Singapore, guess what I teach to the Chinese? The Heart Sutra, right? But it's good I have one thing to teach, right? It's like 5 pages long. And I have that in my head. And I can teach it. And it's very valuable. And it helped hundreds of people in Singapore. And I started it at age 57, okay? So it's not too late. Learn one small thing. Start with one small thing. The three principal paths, ACI course number one. And learn it well. And every day, learn a few lines of it or something. Okay, memorize it if you can. And you won't regret it. You will save somebody's life. And if you just say, I can't do it, then you don't have anything. Okay? Don't give up. Don't say you're too old or I can't do that. And finish your 18 courses. Okay? It's a tremendous error not to. It's an unbelievably foolish not to finish that. You are a fool if you don't finish that. Okay? You are hurting people. Okay? I mean all the homeworks certified by that lady. Okay? Really, seriously. If she tells me you haven't finished, you haven't finished. I don't care what happens, really. Okay? It has to be on record. Right? Which might mean you have to do some stuff over. And that's not going to hurt you. Alright? There was a giku. What's a giku? Disciplinarian. He's the guy that whips you in the month. The disciplinarian of Sarah May got up while I was there one day. If you sneak into the local village, if you walk across the cornfields in the middle of the night, to sit in the back shed of an Indian appliance store and watch crime movies from the U.S., it takes some planning. Like, lights out at the monastery is like 11 p.m. or midnight, and then they ring a gong, and you have to have your shoes ready and your money, your rupees, and you have to know which shed to go to for the movie, and you know, you have to have your friends all ready to cover for you. You have to put pillows under your blanket, so if the Gergen comes in to check, he won't know you're there. So then you have to. Then you sneak and you walk for like 5 miles across the cornfields. And you run into wild dogs and all kinds of stuff. But then you get to Kushalnagar and you pay this Indian guy like 10 rupees and you get to watch Starsky and Hutch episodes in the back. And then it's like 2 a.m. and you're all finished. Like their idea of really, what do you call it? Illicit beverages is some Tibetan tea while you're watching Starsky and Hutch. And then you have to walk home before dawn. You know, you walk back to the monastery and then you get in and the Gergen is sitting there with a stick. It's called a mati stick, you know that? It's a bamboo stick this long and you can slice a person's body open with it. You can lay their body open. The Indian police don't have guns, they have mati sticks. And he's waiting there with a body stick, you know. So you get body sticked on your butt and all over your back. And then they make you go to the Dzogchen, to the main temple. During the morning tea, there's 1,300 monks sitting there having tea. And you have to hold up like a Gone with the Wind poster for 2 hours, 3 hours. You can't let it down. And your arms are like shaking like this, you know. You have to hold up this movie poster. That's your punishment, you see? And then you have to do prostrations. You have to do like 1,000 prostrations to all the monks. You have to get behind all the monks and you have to prostrate them. So the Giku, when I was there, he objected. He tried to get that punishment changed. Okay. And he was strongly against that punishment. And then there was this, I was in the board meeting and there was a terrible argument. Even Sarah May board meetings have arguments, big arguments. So then everybody was screaming. I said, what's going on, you know? And they said, the Giku wants to change the movie punishment. And I'm like, well, what's he want to do? And he says, he objects to the prostration part. And I said, well, why? And he says it's an honor to prostrate to the monks of Sarah May. And these people should not be allowed the honor of prostrating to all the monks. They are not worthy to prostrate to all the monks. Okay? It's not a good punishment because it's an honor. You know? Anyone would love to prostrate to all the monks of ceremony, you know, 1,000 times. It's an honor. So that's like the ACI courses, okay? You know, having to do them over because your teacher lost your homeworks is an honor. Okay? It's an honor. It's not like a bad thing. It's an honor to have to do homework. Okay? Agree? So please finish your courses, okay? I mean, they're so dumb. The owners are so dumb. It takes a little time, you know. It's like the Arizona driving test thing. It was so funny. It was multiple choice. I took it last week during the course, right? I had to finish. And it was, if there's a car in front of you, should you stop? A, 6 feet away. 2 to 3 miles away. C, in your mother's house. You know, and it's, no, they're all like that. I mean, the ASAC questions are not much more difficult. And you're just lazy and you're hurting people, okay? You're hurting your students, okay? So finish them. All right. Yes.